present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, a panel game. And your chairman this week, Barry Cryer.
Hello again. Once again, we're gathered here to perpetrate this monstrous panel game. In the blue corner, Graham, hello, Cheeky Garden. And Joe, hello, Sailor Kendall. Their opponents, Tim Brook, hello, Taylor. And Bill, goodbye, Oddie. Now, normally, we start with a musical round, and I'm afraid this week is no exception. In this round, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask each team to sing a song, but they'll have to sing it as animals.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. You'll have to. Graham and Joe, I want you to sing Hernando's Hideaway, but in fact as a dog and a cat.
Easy. Been too embarrassed in all my life.
Well,
two points and a slight dose of mange, and I ask Tim and Bill to sing Volare, but yeah, in fact in the roles of an owl and a parrot. Finest example of teamwork since Raquel Welsh. I declare them the winners, if only for stamina, by 3-2. Here we're going to set up the feature for later in the programme, our later rivals. We want some silly names, ladies and gentlemen, for the people who are going to arrive at the Fishmonger's Ball. The Fishmonger's Ball, later in the programme, can we have your late arrivals, please? And we will, in fact, leap on. Let's have a musical interlude with Blues Time, ladies and gentlemen, Blues Time. Each team's going to get a subject on which they must improvise, nay, compose a four-line blues, and they sing alternate lines. We'll start with Tim and Bill on this. Your subject, and I've taken out insurance before I say this, Des O'Connor.
It's not a subject. There's O'Connor Blues, all right.
Oh, yeah.
I woke up this morning.
You could have fooled me.
Leapt out of my bed. Yes, I did. I leapt right out of my bed.
I hoped there was something good on television. But oh no, there was the Des O'Connor show instead.
Well now, when I'm going to tell you some people, I don't want to say anything bad about Des O'Connor.
Because you shouldn't speak ill of the dead.
Hey!
Sorry, Mrs. O'Connor. Des O'Connor in drag has just left the studio. We move now back to Joe and Graham. That was the Des O'Connor Blues, by the way, got 4 and 2 solicitor's letters. We go to Joe and Graham. Will you sing us a blues about strikes?
I woke up this morning, man. Think about the Industrial Relations Bill.
Oh, yeah. It will, baby.
So, we're going on
on strike. Good night.
Oh!
For everyone at home, they walked off. Shabby but effective, shabby but effective. You won that, that round by 1 point, Joe. And Graham, will we move to misleading readings. Misleading readings, our next round. In this round, each team will read a well-known piece of prose or verse in funny and extremely silly voices, and the other side have to try and identify the piece. I shall score erratically. We'll start with Tim and Bill with their first piece,
which is The Seagull by Anton Chekhov.
It won't be very nice if someone meets her in the garden and tells Mama. Bring the tea in as well.
Here's the thing I was telling you about just now. This is what you ordered, ma'am.
I don't remember. No, I don't remember.
That's nothing.
You could have fooled me.
Must have been something my medicine chest is going off. Don't worry, man. Just as I... Hang on. I'll go out and see. Just as I thought, a bottle of ether done gone bust. Hums. Again, I stand before you, me enchanted.
Pardon me. It reminded me of how, everything went dark for a moment.
The fact is, Konstantin Gavrilovich done shot himself. That could be a clue.
Could be a clue.
Konstantin had shot himself at the end of that piece.
Ah, yes, you see.
And are we surprised?
Not a bit.
Is it by Chekhov?
It is.
Is it? No sex, please, we're British.
Warm.
Chekhov!
Seagull.
Language, Bill, language.
The seagull.
The seagull, quite
the seagull
right.
Is quite Rookery quick. Nook. The seagull is quite quick. Oh, I think a resounding 5 points all told for Joe and Graham. And now it's Joe and Graham's turn.
With Pygmalion by George Bernard Shaw.
Can we please have some Scottish music?
I don't care how you treat me. I don't mind you swearing at me.
No.
I don't mind a black eye. I've had one before this, but I won't be passed over.
Lynn, get out of my way. I won't stop you. You talk about me as if I were a motor bus.
So you are a motor bus.
Huh?
All bounce and go and no consideration for anyone. But I can do without you. Don't think I can't.
I know you can, Cobber. I told you you could.
I know you did, you brute. You wanted to get rid of me.
Liar.
Thank you.
You never asked yourself, I suppose, whether I could do without you.
Don't you try to get round me. You'll have to do without me.
The end.
An extract. Des O'Connor in drag has just returned. Studio. He was playing a club in Brewer Street. No. We return. You remember the plot, We Return?
I have no idea what they were doing.
That was an extract from Dr. Dinkum's casebook, but you have to guess what it really was.
There was a reference to being passed over at the beginning.
Yes.
Sounds religious. Passover. Jesus Christ Superstar?
No.
Like Australian superstar.
Australian.
Rolf Harris superstar.
Don't think Australian will help
couldn't
you
be
Bill,
that.
At all.
Bit of a pig.
Pig.
Too
much.
It was a hell
clue,
of a
though.
Bore, I know, but wasn't it?
Porky and Bess. No.
Porky.
Which it isn't.
I'm sure you know.
Jokes like that.
Bernard Shaw, I know it, yes.
I see.
Shaw I do.
Pig. The pig cart. No. The doctor's
Cowmalion.
The doctor's
Cowmalion, you're so warm.
The doctor's dilemma.
Let's...
No.
You've got it, haven't you? You have got it.
Yeah, but that's nothing to do with the program.
Just don't come near me.
That's just the doctor's dilemma.
Say it again, Bill. Say what you said before, just this minute.
Cowmalion.
Cowmalion, indeed. Cowmalion. Or read Pygmalion by Artie Shaw, you're quite correct. Yeah. And it's to all misleading readings.
Did you, heifer?
Did you?
No, you haven't.
Now, on to the next round. And I'm going to ask each member of each team to, in fact, declaim a well-known poem, but they have to declaim it tunefully, ladies and gentlemen, because you have to sing a well-known poem. We're going to start with Graham Garden. And so it's Graham Garden singing Gray's Elegy in a Country Churchyard to the tune Darktown Strutter's Ball.
Tolls the knell of parting day, the lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lea. The ploughman homeward plods his weary way and leaves the world to darkness and to me. Now fades the glimmering landscape on the side, and all the air a solemn stillness holds, save where the beetle wheels his droning flight. Drowsy tinklings all the distant folds, save that from yonder ivy mantle tower the moping owl. The moon can blow.
There'll
you
be
rehearsed
some.
Rehearsed that.
There'll be some turning in the graveyard tonight. 2 points. 2 points to Graham Garden. Bill Oddy, will you oblige? Shelley's The Daffodils, Bill, on page 239. But in fact, to the tune of Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh. I wandered on. Flies on high, or fades and hues, when all at once I saw a crowd of holes. Of gold and daffodils beside the lake, beneath the tree. Fluttering and dancing in the breeze, gone tenuous as the stars that shine and twinkle on the Milky Way, they stretched in never-ending line along the margin of the bay, 10,000 saw I at a glance, tossing.
We reached the end of the rainbow, 4 points to Bill Oddy, and of course it's just been pointed out to me that The Daffodils was of course written by Wordsworth and not Shelley. Just checking that everybody was taking notice. And now, Joe Kendall, I'm going to ask you to procure your book, page 26, Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind, by William Shakespeare, better known as Percy Bysshe Shelley, and to the tune of If You Were the Only Girl in the World.
Wind, for not so unkind as man's ingratitude. Thy talk is not so keen because thou art not seen, although thy breath most jolly. Freeze, freeze, thou bitter sky. Thou dost not bite so.
Joe, good wasn't the word for it. two again for that. Now, Tim Brooke Taylor.
I've done mine.
Tiger Tiger by the well-known spy, William Blake, to the tune of Around the World.
Is that 80 Days, Tim?
Yes. I'll search for you, that one.
Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forest of the night. But mortal hand or I could frame thy fearful symmetry in what a distant deep so skies went the fire of thy eyes. Of what wings they aspire, what the hand had seized.
And now, Paradise Lost to the tune of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Those trousers did you the world of good, Tim.
No, they didn't.
Well-known tenor marked down to 7.5. Tim Brooke Taylor, a resounding win for Tim and Bill by 8 points to 4. Pull up your socks, Joe and Graham. Now for a rather bizarre item entitled Tag Wrestling. I think I ought to explain that. Tag in this instance meaning tagline, punchline, final line. I'm going to give each team the final line of a hopefully short story. A member of one team must start the story and obviously head straight for the end of their own particular story before I press my hooter, if you'll pardon the expression. And then a member of the other team must then take up the story very quickly, but they're heading for their punchline. Now, the first team to reach their tag wins, and in the event of nobody finishing, I shall probably fall asleep. Now, we go first of all to Tim and Bill, and your tagline of your story is, so the choir went home and we could see our knees again just over the top of the roof. And so the choir went home and we could see our knees again over the top of the roof. Joe and Graham, the tagline of your story this time is, the spaceship landed safely, proving porridge is inflammable in a leap year. The spaceship landed safely, proving porridge is inflammable in a leap year. So we'll start with Graham on this occasion, and you're heading for your spaceship line, are you not? Go.
Well, Professor, I said, it doesn't seem to me as if this is going to work. Nonsense, my boy, he replied. Porridge, believe me, is inflammable.
As you may remember, he said, I had that astounding success with the giant knees. Thank you, Professor. I do. What exactly happened on that occasion? He said, well, it involved...
Joe.
Don't interrupt me, said the Professor. And then the second experiment you did was when the spaceship landed...
Was well, also on the subject of giant knees, insofar as the first lot deflated. So I made another lot, and of course we were hoping for success, so we went to the church to pray for the giant knees. We took them along there, and we asked the vicar to bless them. The choir came in at that moment.
Get out, said the professor. are the vats full of porridge?
Yes, sir.
Right, prepare for blast-off. And away we went.
Excuse me, said the professor. I have these loony moments when I suddenly talk about strange things. Let us get back to the choir who are just coming in.
Ah! But the spaceship had already gone off with its inflammable porridge as fuel and...
Naturally, the noise this made passing through the sound barrier was as if 1,000 Concords had passed that way, and the roof of the church collapsed at that moment, this lowering...
Luckily, the choir leaped out of the way. The spaceship landed safely, proving porridge is inflammable in a leap year.
Yes!
Why not?
Can you believe it? They did it. They did it. And our next round is, in fact, for want of a better word, a musical round, ladies and gentlemen. Musical round. In this round, I'm going to ask each team to play a duet. The instruments concerned in this debacle are, in fact, a violin and a Swanee whistle. I'm going to be drunk with power here. I've got to try and recognise the tune they're playing. If I recognise it, they score points. Please. Tim Brooke Taylor wants to leave the studio.
No. Because we're going to be embarrassed anyway, I think for us, can we point out that the violin is not tuned?
Otherwise, we'd have no trouble playing whatever else.
So, in fact, I
think neither is the Swanee whistle, as you can hear.
Bill having the Swanee whistle and Tim having pointed out the violin is not tuned, I'm going to ask Tim and Bill to commence with a duet and a tune, and I'm going to see if I can ascertain the tune. Sounded very like the refrain from Spitting, but I can't go further. Can you give me a clue? Was it a
you
ballad?
You might have heard it the day before today.
I might have heard it the day before today.
Yes.
Is that a cunning clue to yesterday?
Yes.
I'll give you 2 points for that, and we'll in fact ask Joe and Graham, instruments akimbo, to play their duet. The Albert Hall is just catching.
Was but three randy chickens have
it wasn't yes. worth it wasn't worth three randy chickens was it that old
close.
Croat folk song no close. No I clapped at the end but I didn't want to be the odd one out but this is a pop song in its loosest
it
sense.
it was once
yes no longer after that really. A recent pop song was
it gave me a nasty freight
gave you a nasty freight. Freight. I caught your intonation there. I shall throw it back to you. Freight.
Right
what song do I know?
There, I think.
Freight Train.
Yeah.
No.
Nancy Whiskey and Chas McDevitt. Chas McDevitt.
Absolutely right.
I recognise it. I'm going to give you 4 for that. I'm going to give you 4 for that. He said maliciously.
Thank you, people with taste and discrimination.
The mutiny is breaking up. Mutinies Wednesdays and Saturdays only. Now. God bless you, Groucho. We race on to a round rather archly entitled What a Carry On, in which members of our teams are going to be asked to sing songs and they can stop on a word of their choice in the lyric. This has to be followed on with the song starting with that word. Although I will allow a certain amount of overlapping, which of course won't be seen by the people at home, so we'll get away with it. So we will, in fact, I think we'll start with Bill Oddy, who will sing and stop on a word of his choice.
When you begin the begin, it brings back a night
and day. You are the one, only you
are my heart's desire.
Was that desire or delight?
Desire.
Should be
desire.
Desire.
It should be delight. I'm going to give you a point for that.
Delight.
Joe and Graham, because Tim should have said delight there. Oh. I'll give you a point. Carry on from delight, please, Graham. Sorry, Tim, not desire.
No, perfectly right.
How did you look at delightful to know and heaven to kiss.
Just allow that, yes.
Kiss is my lucky day. Oh! They try to tell us we're too young.
Then springtime, am I?
I've got the feeling I'm falling.
Falling in love again. What have I to do? Never wanted to.
But I've got them.
Lovely black eyes. Oh!
You beautiful doll, you great, big, beautiful...
doll, singing doll.
What was the...
Now, we've gone... I'm going to score Tim and Bill 6-4. And now we revert to late arrivals. You may remember I asked for people who are going to arrive at the Fishmonger's Ball.
Oh, yes.
And first we'll go this time to Joe and Graham. Who arrived at the Fishmonger's Ball?
The next arrival at the Fishmonger's Ball is Mr. Ian Chips and his dog, Scamp Ian Chips.
Like it.
The next arrival at the Fishmonger's Ball is Mr. and Mrs. Itted Place and their son, Phil.
Oh.
Itted. Scampy.
Floundering on that one. I like that.
Arriving at the Fishmonger's Ball next, Mr. and Mrs. Urbank, their two children, the budgie, the cat, and the dog Urbank.
Their two children.
Mr. and Mrs. Hiram E. Butt, and their son, Hal.
Oh!
And also, a touch of royalty to the occasion. The Queen of the Basques. Listen carefully. Madame Shark. And their son, the Basque King Shark.
Oh. I will score that 7-6.
A late arrival.
Oh.
At the Fishmonger's Ball.
He's running it.
Hoping to get a laugh, so be kind to him. Mr. and Mrs. Sleep in the Subway, darling. And their dog, Fish. Who has now left?
That joke is ahead of its time, which is about 11:30 this evening. So I score 7-6 in favour of Tim and Bill on that round. One last quick round, and this is rather a novel one. For this round, I'm going to ask each team to give me £5. Right, that's it. No points for anyone. I win. I'm going home. Good night for now. Bye.
Barry Cryer at last managed to say goodbye from Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden, Joe Kendall, Bill Oddie, Dave Lee at the piano, and producer John Cassels.